All right, welcome in to the first ever edition of the That's So Cincinnati podcast. I am Enquirer Bengals beat writer Paul Daner Jr. crossing over the newsroom with our PX politics and news insider, all things everything, knower of things, Jason Williams. What's up? Here we are.
Not much. You're too kind, man. You're too kind.
We're really
excited.
We're really doing it.
It's So Cincinnati. Oh, wait. It's That's So Cincinnati. I knew it was That's So, but I was just trying to, like, in my head think, It's So Cincinnati?
No. That is. Like that is what we just said. The TSC, which I think can be a thing. So let's kind of briefly tell people what this is. First of all, it's a podcast. You probably know that because you made it here. So we appreciate you listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Cincinnati is a crazy place where there is a lot of stuff that happens that I feel like there's complicated issues and just people just don't even want to, they don't even want to dive into all of it. But I feel like we are in a unique position to be able to make it fun, light, and relatable and understandable for people, mm-hmm. right? I feel like, and podcast is a perfect place to do that.
I think so too. You know, it's that, especially too when you being a sports writer and on you know covering the Bengals, you know Cincinnati so well, having grown up here, and you've done this a lot, and you can bring that lightheartedness, and then me as a columnist,
angry, gruff columnist,
total curmudgeon, 43-year-old going on 83. But you know, I mean, we can have a little fun, and we don't have to worry so much about playing it right down the middle and who, what, when, where, like a news story. So let's have some fun.
And let's get to the bottom of some stuff.
Absolutely.
Let's talk through it. And so so we're going to do this. This is going to be every week. If people listen, if you like it, please subscribe. You can obviously, I don't know where you're listening now, but you can listen, get it on iTunes. You can get it on Google Play. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, we're there. That's So Cincinnati, Cincinnati Enquirer. Search that, get that. Please subscribe and leave us your thoughts in the comments section of the stories or on iTunes or wherever, and we'll try to cater it to you as we go along. But we're gonna keep doing these once a week, and we'll see how long it lasts. If you people like it, if you want more, if you want different stuff, we're gonna do whatever you want. If you don't like it and no one listens, we might end up going away. So it's up to you.
I hope not, but it is up to you. It's up to you, and you being Cincinnatians and greater Cincinnatians and. Some people across the world have been very supportive of our Bengals coverage.
Correct.
And of the Politics Extra column and our political coverage in general.
Your brand is strong.
And that's because of the readers and the audience. Yep. So thank you.
It's out there. So later we're also in each one of these, we're going to bring in someone from our newsroom. There's so many talented people in our newsroom and all these other stories break. And we really want to have a chance to showcase stuff they're doing, news they're into, scoops they're getting. And so we're going to bring someone in there every week to come in and join us in the middle of each episode. Today we're going to have Hannah Sparling, who's the transportation writer, has been all over streetcar stuff that's been going on. And Cincinnati Bell has just kind of backhanded them, and it's kind of getting a little ugly over there. So we're going to bring her in. We're going to talk streetcar in a little bit. How could we not? I mean, really, if we open up, we're going to talk about the banks, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to open up a podcast about Cincinnati life. And with the two maybe most talked about topics in politically here in the last 15 years, right? The Banks Project and a streetcar have been yelled about maybe more than anything since the millennium.
Maybe if we mix the Bengals in there, but we'll leave them out
news,
for the day.
On the news side.
Oh, on the news side.
News
I apologize.
Side. People yell about the Bengals. I can't handle that. My ears hurt.
I just want to drop that in.
My ears hurt. I know. They're in a bad place. Well, they're going to be in this conversation.
Yes, they are.
We can't talk about the Banks without talking about the Bengals. So, you wrote a column, as you do, and it was suggestions for the Banks. Essentially, you were asking for you got interesting responses. What was because the bank are the Banks in trouble?
I don't think they are in trouble. I just think that it's sort of sputtering along. It's been 10 – what may give me the idea was the Skywheel coming, and that's really to mark the 10-year groundbreaking of the development part of it. The two stadiums are already there, but everything in between. And so I thought, you know, let's see where we're at 10 years in, nothing too in-depth. And I'll throw out my ideas of things I'd love to see. And I want to ask you, the readers and the listeners, what you think should go there. And so it was a fun column to do, and it was a fun response. And I think there's a lot of people who are passionate about it and want to see it succeed.
Businesses have come and gone down there is the thing. I mean, we can go down the list. It's a cemetery of places that have come and failed. And there seems to be a disconnect between a lot of these businesses that come in, your restaurants, essentially, yep, bars, whatever, of what type of audience they need to be catering to. Because right now, the only things going on down there are really Reds and Bengals games. I mean, GE showed up, but that, I don't know, has that been as big of an impact as they anticipated? I mean,
No, because they haven't been able to. They haven't filled the building up yet.
Right.
They haven't filled all the jobs, and they even actually had to make some cuts. So things are sort of sputtering along there as well. So that the GE Tower isn't just bustling and booming with employees and people coming there throughout the day.
I mean, the Holy Grail was the first one in and probably figured it out better than anybody. Serve Bud Light, have a good time, sports bar, party, 20-year-olds, let's go. Like, that's their model. They tried, and they found creative ways to bring people in. I mean, we've had our Beyond the Stripes show,
yep,
down there. They have Bengals line down there. They've had every show that has been a show. They've done Reds trivia nights. You name it. When they're not having games going on, they've tried to find ways,
yeah,
to bring people in there, and they thrive.
Well, Holy Grail was, I think you nailed it. Like, Holy Grail was thriving because they figured out right up front, it's like, look, the most people are going to be visiting here from the get-go are Reds fans and Bengals fans with some concerts mixed in both. And so I think that's a clientele that they don't want to go and get dressed. They're not going to go get dressed up and go sit down at some fancy restaurant before they go to the Reds game or Bengals game or a, you know, Kenny Chesney concert at the stadium or the music festival, or, you know, the music festival is probably a little different because it's a weekend long thing. And, you know, you have a little more time to go and sit down at a restaurant, but most of the concerts and events that are happening there, it's like, you know, you're wearing jeans and a t-shirt, and I'm not going to go to a sit down restaurant and wear that. I want something quick. I want a burger and fries and a beer, and I want to go to the game.
You've got more line. You've got these places that have done well, that have come in now, and even Jeff's Social, I guess, is sort of catered at Yard House. These are the ones that are still standing, but yet some of the other ones that keep coming in and going through, that, you know, you wonder when they come in how they don't see that model. But the thing is, it needs, you know, the next phase needs to take care of adding more than just game people, and that's where the, you know, concert venue comes into play. And
yep.
Holy Grail, I saw the tweet to you from Holy Grail, was saying this concert venue would be the real game changer. Of course, GE was supposed to be the game changer, and then now it's not. But the concert venue, if you really had 150 to 200 concerts a year,
mm-hmm,
that is the game changer that the banks need. But now, I mean, how in jeopardy is that? Because the Bengals said no, then they have veto power to Lot 24. So where is that at, and is it in jeopardy of not happening?
I don't think it's in jeopardy. I just think it's going to be a little bit of a process here for you know, everybody to get around the table and work it out. I don't think the Bengals, I've got no sense that the Bengals don't want it to happen.
They just don't want it to happen.
They just don't want it to happen on this lot, but I think that they – yeah, I think the Bengals have shown in recent years they've been willing to budge somewhat on their lease with the banks, and I see no reason why they wouldn't do it on this. You know, maybe I'm giving them too much credit, but I don't think that they're trying to just be like the old Bengals, and that's like no, and we're moving on. I don't sense that's what's happening with the Bengals.
Mike, when I asked him about it, before the season started, we were at the Mock Turtle Soup luncheon, and he said, I feel like it would be best served for everybody to be up by where the bars and restaurants are, and that's why I think that lot in the corner would be better. And he feels like he has an obligation to his season ticket holders to use every power he has to protect that spot where tailgating happens. The problem I have with that is, do we not think that a lot of his season ticket holders like music and want it at the best possible spot? And that is not a that is a tailgating lot that they have that doesn't open until 2.5 hours before the game. All the real tailgating happens to those lots over on Longworth and everywhere all over the place. It's just, and you're talking 10 days a year for that spot. And if everyone is in agreement, everyone else is in agreement that that is the best place for it, you know, I feel like it's time to just be like, all right, and cut a deal. I'm sure there's ways that we can make that concert venue work for you and your tailgaters and give rights to it on game days. You know, no concerts on game days. And you can have a tailgate party over there, whatever you want. I'm sure there's a way to work something out that way.
This my, this is maybe my own gut or, you know, talking to some sources around different things, not with the Bengals per se, but my gut and some buzz from sources tells me that leads me to believe I'm optimistic that something will get worked out, and this is going to be really awesome, and it's going to bring. I think the Banks needs this. The stadiums didn't do it. The GE Tower didn't do it. The restaurants that have come and gone haven't done it. I do think the park is great. I spent actually I took one kid down on Saturday and another kid down on or one kid down on Sunday and the other kid down on Monday and spent a couple hours at the park, Smale Riverfront Park, and it was just awesome. And it's
Packed.
It's packed. It was packed.
Weekdays half the time. If it's a nice day, almost any time.
Yep.
People are down there and using it. I mean, it doesn't even matter.
And this gets back to the point of the column I wrote a couple weeks ago is that, you know, the Holy Grail's done a great job of taking advantage of the clientele who go to Reds games and Bengals games and concerts. But there needs to be something else that, kind of, I don't know, caters to the park goers, the people who visit the park. And that these are families who want something quick. And I threw out a Chick-fil-A, McDonald's. Some people have thrown out Grater's, Skyline.
How is Skyline not down there, by the way?
How is Grater's not down there? Yeah. How's Skyline? They, actually, I did see some chatter about there was some effort to get Skyline to go there, and they didn't want to go.
Cut them a deal to get them where all these out-of-town people come into a Reds game, want to try the Skyline? Like, I feel like that's something that it should be connected. Now, granted, they have Skyline at the Reds game. But
and there's
like,
one right up on 4th Street, not too far from Great American
Ballpark.
I just feel
like those places are perfect for the Banks.
I agree with that, and especially when you're talking about, again, people who go to games, concerts, the park. These are folks who generally want to grab something quick. Mm-hmm. Skyline would be perfect. Chick-fil-A. I know people like laugh at me because I say McDonald's. I'm being small-minded, but I'm not saying don't put in some of these other eclectic restaurants. I'm just saying drop in a Starbucks, a McDonald's, a Chick-fil-A, a Skyline. Give some more options to keep people there. Now, when I go down on a weekend, I'm just speaking from my own experience as a father and a husband. That you know, when the whole family's there and we want to go grab lunch, we're leaving. We're going to go over across into Newport and go to Chick-fil-A or over to Covington and just grab McDonald's or something real quick. And it's like I sense that there's probably a lot of people that are doing that. Instead of, I'd love to just be able to walk up the hill there.
Yeah.
And
We went during Flying Pig weekend. We were down there with my daughter, who's 16 months now. She quote, ran the piglet, right? Where they just put the kid out there, and my daughter did not
move.
Did
she run straight?
No, she looked at me. And sat there and said, "What is this stupid thing you're trying to get me to do? I don't know why you're trying to get me to do that."
She
eventually had to, like, basically, like, straight out of like the Apollo Theater, like, had to brush us off the, like, the next group is coming. You need, like, she's not moving. You need to get her out of here.
But she didn't cry, right?
No, she didn't cry.
See, our son did the same thing, but he cried on top of that.
Oh, see, that makes it worse.
Our oldest son now.
But after that, we went to go eat, and it was like you had to go and sit down somewhere, basically. And you have the chance of meltdown at that age it's high. And I don't want to get stuck. I don't want to get stuck in like a nice restaurant when the meltdown happens and be forced to leave. I'd love to have a place where I could just go in quickly, kind of try and get out and not have to worry about it. And they, you're right. That's sort of a missing – it's a missing piece for people down there right now.
Speaking of that, so Cincinnati, there were some people who said that was so Cincinnati for me to just throw out that we needed a couple fast food restaurants down there. So I'm like, so I guess – yeah, well, that is so Cincinnati. But
diversity in what you have, I think, is
and it's exactly. I'm not saying
take care of everybody.
I'm not saying bump out what's there now. No. Let's make what's there successful. Let's bring in some of these other simple things, mix them in, and try to hit like a more diverse crowd. Whether that's, you know, they're coming for concerts or events or
yeah,
whatever.
So we're hoping. I mean, you kind of were maybe not breaking news, but definitely some quality scuttlebutt there. That there could be something getting solved with the next step here in the near future, huh? You feel like that's near, not as far off as people maybe think it is.
I do. I don't. It's not as far off as people might think it is. Now, in terms of the construction and when all that stuff's going to get worked out, who knows? I mean, but I think once the politicians and the business folks get it all squared away, and then you're off and rolling.
If there's anything we know about the banks, it's that it will not happen fast.
Exactly.
I mean. Think about it, 10 years. I cannot believe it's been 10 years and we're still where we are trying to figure out what works.
I want to I don't want to get too long-winded here, but this is one thing that really bugs me about the bank. I didn't
Are you going to like hop on the soapbox, please?
Oh yes. I didn't put this in the column, but I since realized I've known this before, but I really drilled down and paid attention to it when I was down there this weekend. And that was that the buildings there look like military barracks. And I'm walking along 2nd Street in front of the GE Tower. That looks fabulous. But then the building adjacent to that, which is a newer apartment building, it's like a concrete jungle. There's no landscaping. It's not inviting. There's nothing. All the... You know, the doors are locked there along the way, and there's nothing that says, hey, come on in and stay here or anything like that. Obviously, that's the part that's still a work in progress. The whole thing is a work in progress, but, you know, could you have made those buildings a little more aesthetically pleasing?
Could. Excellent, excellent rant. Here's my thing. Could the roof on Fort Washington Way ever happen? I mean, they set up so they could do it, right? To connect downtown to the bank so it doesn't feel like, oh, on the other side of the highway. And it's there. It's like this thing that you did for a reason. Will that ever happen?
I don't want to say.
It would be huge if it did.
You know, I think Cincinnati has made a lot of great strides in the last decade, so I don't want to say it'll never happen. I do know there's certain people like Commissioner Todd Portune has really been pushing this. He even tried to get some federal funding for it earlier this year and was pushed back by City Hall. And so he pulled back on that effort. In the Amazon headquarters pitch, they pitched that they would complete those and put office buildings and apartments on top of it and landscaping. I put that in the column as well, is that I think that would be hugely – it would – inviting, and if you know, put some new things on that to really connect, you know, the central business district to the banks, it all becomes kind of one downtown. Whereas right now, you look at it as like, oh, that's over there,
yeah,
sort of right now, and I think it dissuades people from going there, especially like at lunchtime.
Yeah,
I think about it, like if I thought, you know, right here, we're right here on Fort Washington Way at the Inquirer. If it was more inviting, I didn't feel like I had to cross over a highway valley, you know, I think I would probably be more willing to go there for lunch or try different things down there, take walks down there. Even.
Yeah, it's a longer walk than you think.
Yeah, it is. But
especially to get all the way down where stuff is, if you're down on the PBS side, you're trying to get all the way down to Moorline. I mean, you're walking quite a bit.
It is, yeah, very much so.
You know what's not helping? Although I was not helping, it's not helping as much as you'd like, is the streetcar. The streetcar has worked with like Reds games, people, but to connect them to OTR, So you're going to go. You're going to have dinner at the Eagle or the Senate, or you're going to go to Queen City Radio, have a couple pops.
Yep.
And then you're going to hop on the streetcar and go to a Reds game. That is working.
It is working.
That is working. That's not necessarily great for the banks, but that part is working. The rest of it, not so much. And that's why we need to talk about the streetcar next. That's why we're going to bring in Hannah Sparling. Are we okay with that?
Sounds great.
All right, let's do it. All right, now is the portion of the That's So Cincinnati podcast. We got to get used to saying that. I want TSC to become a thing, though.
Hashtag TSC.
Hashtag TSC. I want that to be a thing. But every week, we're going to do an interview with one of our other fine colleagues here in the room about whatever's going, because there's always something.
That's so Cincinnati going on.
That's so Cincinnati that we want to involve everyone. There's always something crazy going on all of our beats, and everybody does such great work. It's a good chance to bring them in and talk about what's going on. And you know what people always want to talk about? The moldy choo-choo.
Careful. I get in trouble for calling it the Moldmobile.
You called it the Moldmobile. That's the only reason I said it.
And then they came back with the tests, and they showed that things were good. But
things were good. It's not the Moldmobile, but at one point there was some mold.
Exactly.
Okay, sorry. I hate to ruffle feathers. But anyway.
I got a lot of good new names for it now, so. But we can get to that later.
Our Enquirer Transportation writer, Hannah Sparling, is here with us. Super excited to have you. You've been all over. The streetcar can't stay out of the news.
It can't. It's been a lot of fun for me as well, writing about it all day, every day, between the bird scooters.
When it got passed and it got built, and then it's like everybody's like, okay, well, we won't talk about it much anymore.
I will say, Hannah, and you can attest to this, but I was there in 2013 and covering the 2013 mayor's race when it was intense, and then the whole down to the wire, do it or don't do it. And I thought once this thing got built, it would probably slow down. I didn't think it was going to be successful. I love the streetcar. I love talking about the streetcar.
Yes, you do.
I don't love the streetcar. But I don't think anyone thought it was going to be this epic of a failure, and it's crazy.
It's been a lot of bad news for it lately.
What's the worst thing? I mean, what's the Cincinnati Bell's like? You know what? I don't even want to be on this anymore.
I think that's the worst thing lately. So the ridership numbers are down, and that's bad operationally. But to me, the image thing is bigger, with Cincy Bell saying on Friday, we don't want our name on it.
And no one was more behind it than they were. I mean, it's like a 10-year deal. I mean, they were the biggest. It was like, oh, okay, well, they've sold it. That's huge. I mean, can they even do that?
That's a tricky question, I think. So they signed a 10-year contract, which is not done. There's an out there's an out for disparagement. So if it's hurting their brand or hurting their name, then the contract can be voided. I'm not sure if that's happening. I think that's tricky. I'm not an attorney, but I'm not sure they have a case for that yet.
I don't either. I'm not sure. As I told you before the lights went on for That's So Cincinnati, that I'm not sure that news leaks unless they know something about already getting out of it. I've asked around. There's been some people who have just said, yeah, it's over for them, and they're done with it, and they're ready to wash their hands completely, mm-hmm. and just they got to figure out some of the logistics of doing that. But yeah, you're right. I wrote the story when they named it the Cincinnati Bell Connector. It seems a little open-ended on why they can get out of it, but can they show that they've lost customers because of it? I don't know. That's a tough thing.
I doubt people are calling and canceling their internet and saying it's because of the streetcar.
I cancel my internet because their prices are out of control.
I just switched to them.
Yeah. Don't worry. In 2 years, you'll switch back, and we'll probably switch back.
Probably.
Shameless plug. I also am with Cincinnati Bell Fi Optics, and I'm very happy with it. So.
That's good. Well, we're all over the map on that one. But no, I here's the thing. How can this thing be salvaged? Because there's ideas that have been brought up, right? Like, okay, well, mm-hmm. it's working on weekends and nights and stuff like that, but it's not a reliable form of transportation for anybody. That's the biggest problem I have with it. Is if you need to be somewhere downtown and you have a meeting for your job at 10 a.m., you cannot ride that thing because you cannot count on it getting you where you need to be in a certain time. Nights and weekends, you can be late for things. It's no big deal. That's the biggest problem, right?
Yeah, it's really good. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, that's getting a little bit better, but they're still missing their marks on that. So, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if it's supposed to be a transportation circulator downtown and you can't trust it to get you where you need to go by the time you need to get there, that's just not good.
Look, I don't want to get too far in the weeds with this, but I seriously think that, and I don't want to sit here and throw stones in the past because we've dwelled on the past so much about this project. But I think most objective observers would agree, and even critics and supporters alike would agree, that this thing was severely set back and some would say doomed when John Kasich pulled the plug on the state money in 2011 for it to be built up the hill.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
At that point, you really kind of took away the transportation aspect of it because you
right.
were no longer connecting the two biggest job centers. And it really has. It's been doomed from day one, really.
So what is the answer? Is it just going to be what's the end game here? I mean, how do you fix it? Just make it a fun carousel at night, basically?
Well, I've thrown out some ideas in columns, and people think I'm being negative. I'm actually trying to come up with some ways to, you know, solve it, or, you know, at least they're just ideas. And one of those ideas is that the city completely take over operations. I think that would be one thing where you eliminate having, so right now Sorta runs it. It's owned by the city. You've got a private operator that's contracted by Sorta. And if this all sounds confusing, it's because it is. And so right now you need to simplify that. You might be able to save a little bit of money, but that's probably not really the biggest thing. It's a matter of accountability. And so Hannah and Sherry Coolidge today broke a story about the city now trying to get control of the operations. So I think mm-hmm. that's a good first step.
I think the plan with that would still be to contract with the operator, so it doesn't eliminate all those steps you talked about, but it's one less.
And I think that's okay that, you know, you have a private operator, TransDev, that operates trains all over the world, to have a private operator, but for them to just be able to directly answer to the city who owns the streetcar, which owns it, and instead of having to go through Sorta, then go to the city, then this big triangle or rectangle mess of tangled bureaucracy, and nobody wants to take responsibility. And so now with the city taking it over, or potentially looking like they'll take it over at some point here in the near future, will be a good step. I think the other thing too is that they need to reduce the hours on weekdays and just basically run that thing almost around the clock on the weekends. I think it's been such a hit on the weekends. I think embrace that, build on that, build on the weekend success with all the festivals and games and concerts downtown. Try to maximize the heck out of that thing, even late until the evening, early morning.
And could they ever, is that their talk about that happening? And could they ever add, like, dedicated lanes to help?
I think buses would get dedicated lanes first, just yeah. that's a greater population that you're looking at. I haven't heard any talk about cutting back when it's offered during the week. I know, though, to your point, it did great during Blink, for example, and it did fantastic on opening day as well. So maybe that's one solution. The bigger thing I've heard talked about is just making it free, because we're not getting that much from fares anyway. And so maybe if you weren't paying to hop on it, you might be more likely to give it a try.
I'm pretty sure a lot of people, by the way, just hop on that thing and pay.
Yeah, I'm of
just
the
so
mind.
You know.
Yeah, I'm of the mind. It's not the fare that's keeping the riders away from it, to be honest with you.
No.
It's the fact that it doesn't go anywhere, or just in a big circle or loop, whatever it goes in.
It's never stopped me.
And it's slow, and it's...
You can literally walk faster than it. Like, I have...
Be careful saying that now. You're going to get yourself in trouble.
No, I mean, I have done it. I've literally walked. Now, because it will get caught in traffic. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying I have done it where I've missed it down at 12th and OTR or wherever it is. And then I'm just like, oh, okay, well, we'll just start walking. And I'm like, how are we... We're beating it.
That's fake news. That's fake news. You cannot walk faster than that thing. It's fake news.
Unless it sits in traffic.
Fake news.
Like it always does.
It gets stuck a lot.
Fake news.
A lot.
Truth doesn't exist when it comes to the streetcar.
Truth is truth, and I have physically done it. I know that it can. I know that it can happen.
Hashtag sarcasm.
I have said I have been Mr. Dedicated Lanes the entire time. That if you read the stories, and I mean you wrote about this stuff, was anybody that had streetcars other places said the biggest key is you have to have dedicated lanes, because then it's reliable and you know it will get you where you need to go, and people will take it to avoid downtown traffic.
Yeah, I think some at least I'm against dedicated lanes only because There aren't that many people who use it right now. Now, again, like if you do have a dedicated lane, do more people use it? I don't know. I think at least you start out with some signal prioritization. I think it at least probably could deserve that.
Yeah.
I think our streets are narrow. You know, well, they are. I don't think they are. Our streets are narrow one way, and it's tough to give up one lane in this downtown congestion.
It's going to be tough to get any more spending for it, too, I think, at this point, because there's nothing to show for what we've put in so far, really.
Yeah, it's an impossible sell, right? I mean, has that even been brought up, the idea of, like, maybe we pour more money into this? There's no way, right? It's politically suicidal at this point.
Yeah, no one wants to take on that platform.
So what's the latest? What's the next step, Hannah? I mean, what's happening next with the streetcar? Is there anything happening with
it? within a couple of weeks, we'll get a CEO, so that maybe sounds like we're cutting out one level of management and adding another. But the plan is, and I think it really could help with giving kind of one person in control of it all, one person who's fully dedicated to it. So with Metro running it now, they're more focused on their buses. But the CEO would be all streetcar all the time. So that's what I know that's coming next, hopefully within a couple of weeks.
And potentially Cincinnati Bell just throwing up the dishes.
Potentially that.
And just, I mean, but you're right. From a PR branding perspective, you already were fighting the PR uphill battle. That's really what Cincinnati
Bell would be major.
The damage is already done, whether they do it or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't want to lose that money, but it's mostly about them just
and
saying.
And then do we pay to repaint the cars? You
know,
I mean.
Yeah. And the unfortunate, you know, what I give Cincinnati Bell credit for, that was a big risk for them to step out there a couple years ago and put their name on it, and I think they were trying to be good corporate citizens and help out something that was in a tough position. They thought, hey, maybe we can help turn this thing around. It hasn't worked out for them, it sounds like. And the unfortunate thing is that I don't think any other company is going to want to touch it now. So selling naming rights moving forward, like who's going to want to put their name on that thing?
I don't know. No one wants to put their name on it right now.
No.
Well, we'll see. We'll be watching all that. So we'll keep an eye on everything you're doing, Hannah. Make sure you check out all her stories on the streetcar as it continues its slow descent to wherever it's going.
I have no problem.
I like to strive. I don't mean to sound negative. It's just it's embattled.
Embattled is a good word.
That's a good word. It's an embattled device. Hannah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hannah.
Much thanks again to Hannah for joining us. All right, so every week on the pod, I think we want to wrap with just some scoops. I always like in PX when you have mini scoops. It's like scoops that you weren't going to like roll a whole column out about it, but it's just stuff that you've been hearing. I feel like this
You said we're going to rap?
Rap.
Ooh,
no,
that's what
actually,
you mean, rap.
Have you? You've never seen my karaoke skills before. I actually can. I would tear the roof off of 312 Elm Street. That's fact. It's happened before. I don't like to brag, but it's just a thing. Okay, it's known.
We talked off the air about a rap, but
I just don't think you should be rapping or singing or anything like that.
All right, that's fine.
I mean, you wanted to do Quad City DJs and sing the Choo Choo song.
I did. Okay, so thanks for.
And it's fine.
There's
you
a
want
scoop.
To. I mean, it's what you wanted to do, because I brought up the idea of playing the song, and you said, "Well, I could just sing it." That's not something that we want.
That's gonna get. We're me in more
trouble. We're trying to bring people back, Jason.
We are.
Come on.
So anyway, we're wrapping about
this
scoops.
Is sort of wrapping up by just some mini scoops, things you're hearing, and what else we've got before we head out. So what do you got? What's happening in mini scoop land right now?
Well, one fun little mini scoop right now, because this is, you know, politics, much like sports, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of buzz behind the scenes about who's going to do this, who's going to get traded there. Who's going to run for this office? So that's why the two remind me a lot of each other. Having been a former sports writer, I think they're very similar in that way. The little buzz I'm hearing right now is that Charlie Winburn, perennial city councilman, perennial running for a lot of things, quite the showman in character. A lot of buzz about him right now, about potentially coming back and running for commissioner in 2020.
Really?
Yeah. And I talked to him recently, and, you know, he played a little coy with me, as I expect, because it's still a couple years away. But it's legitimate that he's interested in it, and I think that would be a fun race if you put Charlie Winburn in there, who would be vying to be the first African American elected countywide to as a commissioner. There actually is African American lady Stephanie Dumas running this year against Chris Monzel. She's vying to be the first African American to win commissioner. Will be a tough race against Chris Monzel, but if you put a big name like Charlie Winburn in there against a Denise Driehaus or Todd Portum, likely Driehaus, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. What's going on? Where are we at now with the biggest race locally here is going to be AFTAB versus Shab. I mean, where is that at? I mean, there's just it's getting nasty.
Oh, where's it at? It's in the gutter. That's where it's at.
I was going to say, every show that I turn on, I see some ad where one side is swiping at the other. Are they trying to race to the bottom at this point?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I think we all thought that the people who pay attention to this stuff, that it was going to be nasty. There's going to be a lot of outside money being spent. I don't think anyone thought, at least certainly before Labor Day, it would have been this nasty and a lot of mudslinging.
We got a long way to go.
We do have a long way to go. The one thing briefly I would say is that what I'm sensing is AFTAB is at least trying to hit on the issues, whereas Shabbat is being very reactionary and just trying to sling the mud at Purevall, who is only less than two years into political office as the clerk of courts. And so they're trying to, politically speaking, bloody this guy so that not only will he lose this race, but he's a threat down the road to the Republicans, and they want to try to beat him up, again, politically speaking, and beat him up for future races as well. So maybe that, they can kind of try to destroy his political
career. I'm not wrong, right, that this has become a national battleground race, right? I mean, this is really like a core national battleground type deal.
It's absolutely a national battleground. Now, both I know the Democrats very much, the national Democrats, view this as their big race in Ohio, congressional race in Ohio, that they think they can flip this, the Ohio 1st District, which spans the west side of Hamilton County and all of Warren County. And
AFTAB's he's raised more money, right?
He has, just based on since he got in the race.
Yeah.
He has raised more money, yes.
So there's money. This is not some fly-by-night type thing. I mean, this is a real,
this is the big
funded,
leagues.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is really interesting. So we have such a long way to go. It's going to get so ugly. It's going to be so bad.
Sprinting a marathon. it's become a sprint now. We're now 2 months out. So it's going to be intense. It's going to be fun. Fun for some, not fun for others.
People are going to be sick of all of it.
Absolutely. I think at the end of the day, what do the voters care about? And that's what we got to try to stay focused on, everyone.
Yeah, what is what they're going to actually be able to do for the district. So,
exactly.
Yeah, really interesting. All right, let's wrap this thing up. What do you got going on this weekend? What do you where are you? You got the fam going out anywhere? Or?
Well, as I know, people are tired of this, especially your Twitter followers. But I'm a huge Marshall football fan,
so
I think I'm going to go.
It's really aggressive.
Yeah, it's sorry. I'm trying. I realized last week. I'm like, man, people are probably thinking when the season opener. People are thinking, oh man, here this goes again. I'm going to mute him. So thanks at least for not dropping me. Season or the home opener is this Saturday, so I'm kicking around, maybe heading over to Huntington.
Wow.
WVA.
So you're gonna head back there, huh?
Yeah, my son's 5 and he hasn't been to a Marshall game yet, and I'm thinking about taking him to this one.
This could be the one.
Yeah, Eastern Kentucky, kind of a more low key. We could probably leave at halftime. And
when's the last time Marshall came and played here? Did they ever?
They played here last year. They played UC.
They did play UC
at Nipper last year.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now my Bobby's come in this year.
That's right.
The Cats.
I love these. I love these games. I love
Mac. I have one phrase that I always use. Don't sleep on the Mac. No matter what you're trying to do. Mac football is tough sledding, boy.
I'll tell you what, too. Ohio University and Miami University are both good teams this year. And I mean, I love the Mets.
I mean, Miami's trash. They're no good. Sorry.
I love the so-called group of five.
I'm going to say that even if they are ranked number one in the country, I don't like them.
I don't like them. I don't really like them either, but I like the university. I just don't like the football team.
Yeah, fair. All right, we are. It's football season now, so like my weekends are just ruined.
Yeah,
my weekends are ruined. Although Indianapolis is a nice little easy drive, so it's just right up the high. Although I'm going up Saturday because I heard their traffic. Anybody that's listening that's going to the game in Indy, the traffic in Indy right now is apparently a complete disaster, and they've had just like huge backups and people just in parking lots on the highway trying to get into downtown, particularly for big events. And so I'm making sure sometimes I would go up on Sunday. We always go in on day before.
You ever take your wife and daughter on the road?
They've gone. We went to Buffalo together.
Yeah.
In the preseason.
Your daughter's 16 months old.
She's 16 months old. She made the trip. It was an adventure.
Yeah.
6-hour drive with a 16-month-old. But she was great. She slept. She slept in the drive. I was really worried about the drive back because it was going to be during the day where we drove there through the night, basically. Oh, okay. So where she would sleep. And I was like, oh, man, she's going to lose it. But my mother-in-law was in the backseat, too, so we had a full house.
That's great.
And she kind of kept her happy, playing with stuff. We used every toy and snack at our disposal.
Are they going to Indy this week?
No.
Yeah.
No. They
quick in and out of there.
Yeah, it has to be a special. My wife's family being from Buffalo was the biggest reason. We stayed at Grandma's house
on a
very uncomfortable bed.
Of course.
Every grandma has to have the uncomfortable guest bed.
Does she have is it a double or is it like twin beds?
It was a double.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. It might as well have been 1 2x4. I mean, you wake up 3 straight days wishing that you could just fall over and just die, basically. I mean, it was just so painful. I have back problems as is. I didn't need that. So that was fun. I love Lottie. I don't mean to say anything. It's just every grandma has that.
Thanks for saying that.
The bad guest bed.
Yes.
But we had a great time. So, so this weekend, Bengals at Indy, the opener. Check out all the coverage on Cincinnati.com. And then keep an eye out on PX is coming this weekend. What do you have anything in the works yet, or are you still kind of churning it out what you're going to be rolling?
Still catching up from 10 days being off. But I got
how many emails did you have when you showed off on vacation today?
A little over 500. I did. It was a rare. It was
time.
A rare
have you made
vacation
it through?
Where I actually turned the email off, and it was good. I'm glad I did it, but
then
this morning was kind of hell.
Yeah, that's a lot. So, maybe you'll be done sifting through emails by the time next week's TSC goes down. Us giving it a short little acronym would be. That's so Cincinnati of us to do that. We would
drop
do that.
The mic, PJ.
That's so Cincinnati. All right, every single week we are going to be here, certainly through the elections in November and everything that's going on. If you have a topic you want us to dive into, let us know. We'll be happy to do it. And again, subscribe. Make sure you leave comments for what you like and don't like. Tell your friends. Post it on Facebook. Share on social. Please. We want to try to get the word out about it. The more people that listen to it, the more people that like it, the more people, more times that our bosses are going to say, hey, yeah, we should let those dudes keep going in that little closet and talking into microphones. Sounds like a good idea. So anyway, we will talk to you next week on That's So Cincinnati. How you doing, everybody?